My name's David. I work in the Optomechanics group under Dirk Baumeister, and today I'm going to discuss a proposal for measuring decoherence in a macroscopic object. So why we want to do this? Well, if one wants to consider quantum mechanics as a fundamental theory, then one needs to address why it is seemingly forbidden for large systems to be in superposition states. So there's been some theoretical work done on this, and some people have tried to formulate it in a way that doesn't add anything to quantum mechanics. So this is an example of that. So this formulates this formulates why you can't have a large superposition purely from the rules of quantum mechanics. Others have felt that quantum mechanics is insufficient to explain this. So there have been some other proposals where you actually add new physics to quantum mechanics to explain this. So the aim of this proposal is to put a macroscopic object into a superposition and see what happens in order to gain some more insight about this question. So to do this, we're going to use optomechanics, and the basic idea behind this is that if you have an optical cavity, which is essentially two mirrors facing each other, and you place, say, a thin dielectric drum in the middle, or you put an end mirror on a spring, as so, then the radiation pressure from the laser light that you shine in will, when it hits the drum, or the end mirror, will cause it to vibrate and excite. So using light, we can control the mechanical motion of these resonators inside our cavity. And these resonators, at least the ones that we use in our lab, they're visible to the naked eye. So, I mean, they're pretty tiny to the, you know, at our scale, but you can see them with your naked eye. So these are much larger than the standard quantum scales. And also by measuring the light that comes out of your cavity, you can measure the mechanical states of these resonators. So now in our case, what we're going to do is we're going to use two mechanical resonators in an optical cavity in this configuration. So we have one of the resonators is going to be the dielectric membrane such, and then the other one is going to be a movable end mirror. And then we'll have our laser to be able to control the mechanical motion of these two resonators. And then we'll have a single photon detector to be able to read the light that comes out of the cavity so we know what's going on in there. The mathematical description of this is essentially two decoupled harmonic oscillators with an interaction that we can turn on with our laser. Now, the heralding signal of a system being in a superposition is the ability for the superimposed states to interfere with one another. So what we want to do with our two resonators is we want to generate a superposition and then cause them to interfere them. And by measuring the strength of this interference, we can deduce how the strength of the superposition that these two resonators are in. So to do this, what's going to happen is I'll walk through it. We initially prepare our system in a state where there is one phonon in the first resonator and the other resonator is in its ground state. And then by turning on the laser, we can create an exchange interaction where the phonon can, so the two resonators can exchange excitations. And then following that pulse, what will happen is that the state of the system will be a superposition of the phonon staying in resonator one or the phonon jumping over into resonator two. Now, following this interaction, we let the system freely evolve, and we let the system freely evolve for a time tau, and over that time, they will acquire a phase factor dependent on the wait time and the resonator frequency which the phonon is in. And then following that wait time, we then give another swapping pulse, and this time they will each exchange interactions again, but They will interfere with each other depending on the relative phase, and then the output state will be, you can either have the phonon may be entirely in the first resonator or entirely in the second, and it actually will oscillate with the wait time between your two swapping pulses. So this oscillation with the wait time is the interference effect that tells us that the system maintained its superposition throughout this period between the two pulses. So now, how does this tell us about how large systems are forbidden to be in superpositions? Well, it's useful to, so we want to look, so if they lose their superposition during this wait time tau, then what would happen to the measurement of the output states? And so to illustrate this, the model for decoherence that we're going to use is an interaction with the environment. And for simplicity, we're only going to assume that the first resonator interacts with the environment and the other one stays isolated. So I'm going to, it's good to illustrate what happens to a single resonator before we apply it to a more general, to apply it to our two resonator system. And it's easy to visualize this if we look at the density matrix for a single resonator. So what I'm about to show you is a little animation of how the environmentally induced decoherence will affect the state of a single harmonic oscillator in a superposition of 0 and 1. So let's take a look. And so what we see is that it's initially in a coherent superposition that's signaled by the presence of the off-diagonal terms here and there. And then it's equal, so they're all at about half. And then as we play, what's going to happen is because the environment will, the environment's at some temperature, so it'll thermalize the system a little bit, and that's what's causing the higher energy states to get populated. But also what's going to happen is the off-diagonal terms die away, which means that the coherence of the system is lost. So that's what happens. The environment has two main effects, and that's the thermalization and the loss of coherence. So how does this look when we apply it to our two resonator system? So what I'm about to show you is I'm going to show you two plots. I'm going to show you a plot of the state right before it hits the beam splitter and right after it, and then immediately after the swapping interaction. Okay, so on the left you'll see, on the left what you'll see is the state immediately before the second swapping pulse and the state immediately after the swapping pulse. So if we play it, what we'll see happen is you'll have this coherent oscillation at first, but as tau gets much larger, the state will thermalize before it has a chance to, before it gets swapped, and so it'll lose coherence and the swapping gets reduced. And if you take this time to infinity, then you don't have any oscillations at all. So what does this look like from what would this look like as an actual measurement from the system? So this is a plot of the expectation value of the energy in each resonator as a function of the time of the wait time between the two swapping pulses. So you see that we have this coherent oscillation between the phonon jumping back and forth, and then the system will start to thermalize, and as it thermalizes to the equilibrium value, the coherent oscillations die off. So in conclusion, this system would allow us to, I mean, that's how decoherence would manifest in this system, is the oscillation tailing off. And so if we get something different than, so depending on the type of coherence or the type of decoherence that the object experiences, you could get a different type of plot for that. So in conclusion, the quantum classical transition is still poorly understood. Understanding the process by which superposition is lost is essential to understanding this transition. And this scheme would allow for tests of novel decoherence mechanisms, potentially yielding new physics. So I'd like to thank Dirk, Fernando, and especially Matt for their guidance on this project, and thank you all for listening.
So what is the status of this experiment? Are you actually able to do this?
So this proposal was published in June. So I think our group is working towards implementing this, and each individual method for each step of the process has been done before. It's just putting it together is a lot more complicated than I've made it seem. Yeah. So maybe within a few years or a decade. I don't know.
This is a particle physics talk. Other questions?
I have a question. So how do you, you might have said this, I might have missed this. How do you prepare your system experimentally?
So the first step is, so if we go back all the way here, So we need these resonators in the ground state, right? So this is in a cryostat, so which is down to, I don't know, it's pretty cold, but it's not cold enough. So you use optomechanics to cool them. And so if you shine a laser into your cavity that's detuned from cavity resonance by one mechanical frequency, then a laser photon will absorb a phonon from one of the resonators to get on resonance in the cavity, and then it will leak out. And by doing and by continually shining in this laser, you can draw the phonons out of the resonators to get them into their ground state. And then following that, to excite them, you shine in a blue detuned laser, so detuned by one mechanical frequency above, and that will excite resonator one into a coherent state. And the light field, so, and then you want to measure the photons that leave the cavity at the frequency of the cavity resonance. And if you measure one photon, then that means that one photon from the laser put one phonon into the mechanical resonator, and then and one photon into the resonance, and then that photon you measured in your detector, so you know that omega one that projects omega one into the first excited state.
Thank you. Any other questions?